Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at TriCountyContractingWI.com.
The thing is not whether these folks in their heart of hearts can actually set aside their personal beliefs and biases. We all have biases, right? We all see the world how we see the world. Could they set aside that and still do their job? It's about what we talked about before, that appearance of impropriety.
Right.
If it looks like the fix is in, then you can't blame people for arguing the fix was in. And if we can't have faith in the decisions of our judiciary, we are truly lost.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
Missed the first 2 hours. It was pretty awesome. Already up on the podcast page, Greg Pancake Hill, producer of the program, has it there for you. Text Vince to 855-616-1620. We'll send you the link to that or wherever you get your podcast. But wait, because we've got another hour ahead.
Yes.
Yes. Bravo's Top Chef on TV now, right here in Wisconsin.
I'm Kristen Kish, and this season, we're shaking things up.
We're in Wisconsin. But what do you think we're going to see this year?
You know, going into Wisconsin, going to Milwaukee, there's going to be cheese, there's going to be bratwurst.
I need dairy.
And beer.
And a lot of beer.
Episode 11 aired Wednesday night, featuring more competition from our local chef, Dan Jacobs of Dan Dan fame, and more great scenes from Milwaukee and Wisconsin on display for fans of the show across the country. WTMJ's Sandy Max has been following the show from the get-go with us for today's Top Chef Takeaway.
It's been fun, and last night was a very artful episode, so right up my alley.
I wanted to ask you first about, yeah. You were just telling Eric and me that you ran into this couple who's relatively new to Milwaukee. They were at the watch party that you attended yesterday.
Yeah.
And had recently eaten at Dan Dan.
Yes. At Zocalo Tavern on 6th Street, the food park there, they have a weekly party with On Milwaukee, so it's fun to watch it as a group.
Yeah, right.
So I've met different people throughout the time, and it gets kind of full, so nice couple was like, oh, can I sit in your booth? So they were very nice, let me sit with them, and then during one of the commercial breaks, one of the guys says, are you a reporter? Because I have my handy dandy little notebook. Not many people are there watching and taking
notes. Yeah, with the press thing
and a thing
on
that
it.
Said press, right? Yeah. A giant microphone.
Scoop is what they call me. But so started a conversation, and turns out Mike and Emily moved to Milwaukee about a year ago from Chicago and have enjoyed the city and the restaurants. And they were very excited to eat at Dan Dan last week because they've been watching Top Chef at home every week. And they thought, we hear about this party. Let's come watch it. And it's fun with the group.
This is why I'm excited about this. And I've said this, you know, I was not a fan of this particular show, but I'm a huge fan of it being here in Milwaukee and in Wisconsin, because this is exactly the kind of thing that we hope this will bring. Attraction, get people to go out, spend money, enjoy themselves,
check out
come
new
here.
Places.
Right, yeah. Try new places.
Come here
yeah.
and visit.
Because Dan Dan, since it's been open for like 8 years, has had an excellent reputation all along. So for this couple to go, it's a new discovery to them. So yeah, so it was fun. And they're already planning. Well, they're like, we'll see you next week. It's like, okay, because now it's getting more exciting. There are only 14 episodes. I started to say only 14, but you know, we're closing in on the finals. And spoiler alert, Chef Dan is still in it.
Yay. Nice. Yay. All right. Okay. Go. Good. So
we're
could
excited
he win?
For him. Why not?
He could win. And like, how big of a deal is that for him? That's, or has he already reached like the big deal? Like he got, look, if you're, what are we, 11 episodes in, you get to 12. Okay.
I think that the culinary world, I mean, this is an accomplishment, and it opens even more doors for him to be back on Top Chef and get even more exposure for not just his restaurants, but also for his future collaborations and creative efforts. And it's great to be in the spotlight, and it's great to be representing again. You see all these chefs from Chicago, Houston, New York, Austin. It's like we're on that culinary map.
Nice.
As Chef Dan Jacobs from Milwaukee.
So where were they last night? And he, excuse me, I get emotional thinking about
he's all choked up over here.
Where
this is mouthwatering.
What were they showing off last night? Anything good? Any locations?
Last night, there were no real locations. They spent a whole lot of time in the kitchen. But you still got beautiful drone shots. We see the Hone Bridge. We saw the 6th Street Viaduct. The city still looks beautiful. Those skyline shots with the Milwaukee Art Museum. So they're still showcasing it. And of course, we had to go back to run through Whole Foods on East Side. That's pretty much a tradition. But it looks like we'll see Harbor House next week. For the fancy. Yeah, I was like, more
great
pinkies
spot,
up.
Right on the ledge.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the old pieces of eight, right?
You were really impressed with one of the competitions, and I guess the chefs had to prepare not just the table, but literally the table was.
That's it. That's like, your plate. which is a trend at some high-end restaurants in Chicago and in Spain.
So you don't get a plate?
Right. They serve the meal right there on a table. Mm. And there were several meals that we saw last night that the judges were eating with no utensils either. So think of it this way. You're swashing, you're smearing, you're painting on sauces in a creative way. Just like you get chocolate drizzled on a plate. Now imagine it's drizzled all over a table and then you've got finger foods that go with it.
You don't like that idea?
Or chopsticks. Really?
I mean, I'll go fondue, but that's about it.
Right? It's not like this is McDonald's. I mean, these tables get cleaned.
Right. Mm-hmm. Think of it as a white canvas. And that was what a lot of these chefs were because it really was interesting that food is art in a lot of ways. It's creativity and think about the presentation. I mean, you see people with tweezers putting things perfectly so the chives are sprinkled in the right way. This is just that exponentially. So all six chefs put out these beautiful, well, not all six. There were some clunkers in there. But for example, there were artists who were brought to mind. Basquiat was mentioned. Chef Dan Jacobs was very inspired by Jackson Pollock, who's very known for his splatter style. And when you saw the overhead shot of his table, it's these different colorful sauces. And he used beet tartare, not beef tartare, but smoked beets to make them a really colorful, vibrant purple. Okay, so it really is appealing in that presentation, in that artful presentation. Hey, even Bob Ross was mentioned. So you know it was a painter's delight last night. Happy little clouds.
Got a question for you on the text line earlier. They said if Sandy comes in, they wanted to know this. Next week's episode number 12 of The Expected 14 is entitled Goodbye, Wisconsin. Does that mean the final two were shot back in some sort of TV studio where they selected the winner?
That I don't know. Because Wisconsin, you didn't get a lot of glamour shots in the preview. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I recognized Harbor House. So how would Goodbye, Wisconsin? I don't like the title of that.
I don't much care for that.
Maybe Dan gets the boot.
That's the only thing I can think. Yeah, it's like, no, they wouldn't put the spoiler right in the title. Interesting.
Or
I don't know.
Would they?
Yes. We've got afternoon baseball on the air today, which means you will have a full show tonight. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll talk a little bit more. And Dan may have created a new bread item, the Puffin. Which is a pita toasted to make it like an English muffin inside.
Sounds like a thing.
So that could be his next business venture.
More of that tonight on What's on Tap with Sandy Max. Thanks, Sandy.
Sandy Scoops Max.
Yeah. Nice job, Scoops.
I think it's actually huge. I think it's going to change the way our chef testants play the game.
When I say win, you say Consin. Win!
Consin! Woo!
A25 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Result of our increasingly political and divided nature as a people, as a state, as a country, is long past filtering into the branch of our government that is to be explicitly apolitical, and that is the judiciary. Our judges are supposed to be nonpartisan. They're supposed to be interpreters and arbiters of the law. And there are several stories in the news this morning we'll walk you through about how that, at best, no longer appears to be the case. Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito under fire.
My wife is fond of flying flags. I am not.
All right. There's a reason that that statement was just made by ABC's Terry Moran. More on that in a moment. Let's start back here in Wisconsin and the battle over Act 10, which we told you earlier this week. Public employees are suing once again in an effort to repeal Governor Scott Walker's signature piece of legislation that stripped most public employees of their collective bargaining powers with the state, resulted in efforts to recall Governor Scott Walker. And the very judge who is now set to rule on whether that law is unconstitutional appears to have signed the recall petition in the effort to kick Governor Walker out of office back in 2011. First reported by Dan O'Donnell, later by the Journal Sentinel's Dan Bice and Associated Press, Dane County Judge Jacob Frost, his name, his signature, his address appearing on one of those recall petitions. And this has come back to bite a number of people, because this database was created where you could search by name and see, all right, it's a public record.
Right.
So it's made very simple to search who's on this list, who signed that petition. Judge Frost, he ain't talking about it. Every story I read about this finished with a could not reach him for comment or some form thereof.
Mm-hmm.
Someone said this, someone said that, someone said call the office, yada, yada, yada. Asked if he should recuse himself from the case, Governor Tony Evers, who also signed the petition, although from a different walk of life, he was state education secretary at the time, said, let's just let it play out. Everybody has to take a deep breath and just kind of let the system work the way it's supposed to work.
Well, what is...
I don't know what that means.
What does that mean?
Thank you, Coach.
To let it play out. Just not do anything then.
Right. Isn't the system supposed to work with judges who are not throwing themselves into political controversy and being asked to administer blind justice as it's supposed to be in these types of cases? Also a problem with this case if, and ultimately everybody believes when, it makes its way to the state Supreme Court. You have newly elected Justice Janet Protasiewicz, or not so new anymore, but a year out, who also signed the Walker recall petition. Also on record having said before she was elected, she thought Act 10 was unconstitutional. She has indicated she would at least consider recusing herself from the case if it comes before the high court. She's going to be under tremendous pressure to do so from the right. From the left, there will be tremendous pressure for her to stay on because that would leave the court, if she were to recuse herself, in a 3-3 conservative-liberal split.
See, but can you make the argument, because don't, as you run for office, and again, we've criticized how the state Supreme Court is, people campaign for that, how they run for office to be on that court. They're receiving donations to be on the court.
Right.
So every judge has some type of favor, quote unquote, in their back pocket just from running for office now. So shouldn't they always be having to consider whether or not they need to recuse?
Yeah.
They're not suggesting that this one is okay or other ones are not or anything like that. I'm just saying they're constantly given money, so shouldn't they always have a recusal that may have to be considered?
There's a line somewhere, correct. And where that line is basically left up to the individual judges and, you know, and their personal ethics, where that line, just because somebody took money from someone or just because somebody, you know, got a vote from someone doesn't mean that they can't be impartial jurists.
Right.
But
agreed.
It goes back to appearance. And what is that line for those judges? Back to the U.S. Supreme Court, where Justice Samuel Alito, he's resisting calls for him to recuse himself from future cases that deal with the January 6th riot at the Capitol, efforts to prevent the certification of President Biden's election. And this is over two flags, essentially. Flags that were seen flying over Justice Alito's multiple homes. One was an upside-down American flag flown into the days after January 6th. ABC's Terry Moran.
The other flag, a pine tree flag outside the Alito's New Jersey beach home last summer. A Revolutionary War flag also carried by some pro-Trump supporters on January 6th. Alito explained that his wife flew all kinds of flags at the beach house. Team flags, college flags, patriotic flags, and more, adding, I was not familiar with the appeal to heaven flag when my wife flew it. I was not aware of any connection between that historic flag and the Stop the Steal movement, and neither was my wife.
But
flying a Badger flag is different than flying Old Glory upside down.
Yeah, I mean, that means obviously in distress, right?
Yes.
Amongst other things.
And basically claiming ignorance and the fact that it wasn't him, it was my wife. And as I indicated, each of these are individual circumstances. Each case is different. And the issue of recusal and open question, certainly. But the larger point is you have political messaging coming from folks who are duty-bound to be apolitical. And you and I both have dealt with this as quote-unquote journalists. And my position now, I get to be a little bit more opinionated, as do you here as a host, as opposed to when I was sitting on the news anchor desk at TMJ4. When I was on the desk at 4, you know, my wife volunteered for a local political campaign. And we didn't talk about it before, and she never really thought about it that way, and she went to volunteer for someone who was running for office. And when we were talking about it, I'm like, I think that's not okay for me, for like my job. And I appreciate her point. She was passionate about this candidate, said,
sure,
I want to support this person.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that. And I said, I understand. And I can say that that's not going to affect me, but it doesn't look good. And so I actually went to the management at 4 and I said, this happened. My wife, I think she answered phones or made phone calls or something on behalf of a candidate. I'm like, the agreement we reached at work was, you're not covering that race anymore. So if it's a story about these two candidates who are running against you, you're off of that story.
Mm.
She wanted to. We had a friend of ours ran for school board. I mean, school board in Little Greendale. It was a personal friend. But I'm like, I'm sorry, man. I can't come to your campaign fundraiser. I can't put a sign in our yard. Again, my wife, not happy about it, but we talked about it as a couple, and she just said, I understand this is important for your job, and if that's what we're doing, okay.
Yeah, I have a...
You've been through the sign
thing.
I have
no signs in the yard policy at my house. And I've been, Angie's asked, hey, do you mind, she said, what do you think? Can I throw a sign up? Do you think that'd be a big deal? And I'm like, I'd really appreciate it if we could
could we not
do that.
Right.
You don't think that would
change how you would actually do your job. You wouldn't come here and all of a sudden be trying to promote this candidate.
Perception is reality.
Office.
You know, I was a news director for a long time here. And as a news director, having a sign in my yard, I did not feel comfortable with that, nor did I think it was appropriate. And Angie understood that.
And there's something to that. You know, the thing is not whether these folks in their heart of hearts can actually set aside their personal beliefs and biases. We all have biases, right? We all see the world how we see the world. Could they set aside that and still do their job? It's about what we talked about before, that appearance of impropriety.
Right.
If it looks like the fix is in, then you can't blame people for arguing the fix was in. And if we can't have faith in the decisions of our judiciary, we are truly lost. 8:33 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Got a spelling bee update. Scripps spelling bee. We got two local Wisconsin spellers.
Yeah, the girl from Franklin,
yep,
right?
Netra from Franklin.
And then kid from just outside of Madison, right?
Middleton. Yeah, okay. So that's Aiden. So we'll start with Netra. She unfortunately knocked out in the fourth round on Wednesday. She misspelled Hamelia, which is a flowering plant, the scientific term for a flowering plant. Hamelia misspelled that. So she ends up tied for 60th. Are you Googling Hamelia now?
See, I would. I actually, I can't spell at all, and I would have gotten it right. Hamelia. Hamelia.
Yeah, she threw an extra I in there. So to speller Aiden from Middleton, he was asked in the vocabulary round this question:
what is a greenhorn? A. A lookout on a sailing ship. B. A musician in the military. C. An inexperienced person.
Would you have gotten that one?
Yeah, that one I would have gotten, because you talk about someone being green.
Mm-hmm.
Means they're new in their position, new in a job, right?
See an inexperienced person?
That is correct. Thank you.
Inexperienced, greenhorn. Yeah. I learned that, I think, from the boat show where they're getting the crabs up in Alaska. Didn't they call those guys greenhorns? Right?
I don't know.
Discovery Channel or whatever?
Doesn't that seem to support the lookout on the ship?
It's something that Wagner would always have on like one of those... like crab boat shows,
crazy
Norwegian,
fish, yeah.
They call each other greenhorns or whatever. Anyway,
dangerous catch or
so
whatever.
Then he was asked, what is a toady? And a toady is, he said, someone who will not pay their debts. But we all know a toady really is.
Well, Scott Farkas's miserable little toady was Grover Dill in A Christmas Story.
So
a toady would be someone who, like, is taking it from somebody else. He's not doesn't stand up for himself.
The correct answer, right? A toady is a person who acts in a submissive manner. So.
Yeah, okay. So I get it right.
The example of Farkas's little toady.
Remember
from
that? From
A Christmas Story.
And his miserable little toady, Grover Dill.
How great would it have been had Aiden dropped A Christmas Story reference?
Did Aiden get it right or no?
He got it incorrect. So he was knocked out.
Oh. Well, See, these kids are probably smarter than me in virtually every way. But I don't know, maybe watch a movie one time.
You got it right. Hey, how about you put that dictionary down?
Yeah, put that dictionary down and fill your brain with the mindless knowledge that I have, right, of movie lines. And you would have got the answer right.
Well, congratulations to both Aiden and Nether. Aiden tying for 17th place, so not bad.
That
championship is tonight. Final rounds of the Scripps Spelling Bee tonight.
I need a player. Virtual baseball is up next. We'll take caller number 5 to 855-616-1620 on the line.
Your chance to win Brewers tickets.
I need a player for virtual baseball. Caller number 5 to 855-616-1620. We'll play it next.
This is your chance to be a professional baseball player.
People still don't recognize us.
For 5 minutes. Virtually, of course.
We're contenders now.
Welcome to Virtual Baseball on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Play ball!
Virtual Baseball is sponsored by Siding Unlimited. Siding and a whole lot more. Honest pricing guaranteed. Visit SidingUnlimited.com. NHL.com. Our player today is Kevin in Belgium. Morning, Kev.
Good morning.
Eric's going to explain the rules just so everybody playing along at home understands.
Yeah, Kevin, your chance to win a pair of Brewers tickets starts now. Here's how the game is played. You, and not Vince today, you are actually playing against Julia Fellow of Wisconsin's Afternoon News. I have recorded her answers or questions already.
That works for me because I don't want to win.
Yeah, see, that's
I want
why.
The contestant. I want Kevin to win the tickets
today. So we're
today.
Rooting for you, Kevin, not for Julia. But Julia did us a solid and sat in for Vince because Vince has so much anxiety over this. So,
okay.
All right, here's how the game is played. There are 20 Brewers highlights labeled 1 through 20. You and Julia each select 3 highlights from the same list of 20. Your score is determined by the number of runs scored in the highlights. There aren't any ghost runners or anything like that. If it's a 2-run home run, that's 2 runs for you. Then it's the next highlight. So you want to score more runs in your highlights than Julia does. So since we already have Julia's guesses, she will be the visitor. You will be the home team. Are you ready?
Yes, I am.
Okay, Julia's first number.
I'll go with number 6.
All right, number 6 today is Owen Miller.
1-0 pitch, Miller, ground ball back up the middle, backhanded by Horner. Jump throw to first, and not in time. Miller able to beat it out. Ortiz scores from third. It's a 6-3 ball game.
All right, so you got one.
Okay, so an RBI,
in.
One for Julia.
Okay, next one from Julia is...
Let's try 19.
Oh, wait, no, that's...
Come on, Level.
That's not Julia.
It's not your turn.
That's Jeff Levering, who sat in for you once before. Well, now my system is all... Hold on. I'll get it. Here it is.
I'll go with number 20.
So number 20
nobody ever picks 20.
Ms. Fellow. Let's see what it is. Today, number 20 is William Contreras.
Out of the windup. Here it comes. And a high fly ball left center field. This ball is going to be back there and gone! Contreras hits it out to one of the deepest parts of the park. What a battle! Contreras wins it. It's a 3-run shot.
That's it. Thank you, Lane. Oof.
Oh, no.
All right.
Took one there, Kev. All right. 4-0. 4-0.
Okay. Last one here from Julia is...
All right. Number 7. Lucky number 7.
Number 7 is Blake Perkins.
Uh-oh.
Blake Perkins had himself a day yesterday. Let's see. Blake Perkins...
And Perkins bunts one right back to Kenley Jansen off the mound. Fields throws to first in time, and he got him.
Nothing there.
All right, not bad, dude. You're down 4-0, but there's precedent for a lot more runs than that being scored in an inning.
All right, let's see. What's your first
number?
Yeah,
the Brewers come back all the time.
Yes.
All the time.
Here we go.
No, what did you say, 19?
19, please.
Willie Adames.
Brown brings home the pitch. High fly ball, deep right center field. Racing back is Bellinger at the track. Wall leaps up, and Bellinger brought it back.
Saw that coming.
Yeah.
That always happens.
Adames this year.
All right. That's okay. You're still on the board. What's next?
Let's do 16.
Number 16, Willie Adames yet again. Uh-oh.
1-for-3 today with that home run. In the 0-1. Hit in the air to center. Backing up on it is a Rosarena. Still back onto the track towards the wall. Leaps up. Goodbye.
Yay. Yes. How many?
3-run home run, Willie Adames.
Baby. Needed that one. I got nervous there when I saw Willie's name come back up.
All right. 4-3. Julia's up 4-3 with one batter remaining for Kevin.
So you need to at least get one here for a chance at a walk-off. What's it going to be?
Let's stay alive with 5.
Number 5, Reese Hoskins.
Severino's 2-2. Hit deep to left field. Backing up Nimmo, turning, watching it sail. Goodbye! Reese Hoskins has made a statement at Citi Field.
That's a 2-run shot.
Yeah!
Yes.
That'll do it. You win. Well done there. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You got it.
Thanks, guys. Love listening to you.
I appreciate that, Kevin. Hang on the line. Greg Pancake Hill will take your information. We'll get those Brewers tickets out to you.
Ooh, close one.
That was.
Had a little of everything in that one.
Sorry, Julia.
Julia had Jeff Levering show up there. Whole lot of everything.
Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack.
Flex. That's what Lane's always doing up here.
Sorry. The pitch is outside 1-1. He was not expecting a shot fired at him.
Yeah, no, I'm not flexing.
You could be flex packing. 1-1. One down in the fourth for Arrighetti.
There was never a point in my life where I was flexing. Muscle's never been my deal.
Well, we'll move on. Here's Jake Bowers.
Thank you.
WTMJ, W277-CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee. From the Annex Wealth Management Studios, this is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma brand station.
WTMJ forecast sponsored by Dave Dre Camp Heating, where your comfort is their family's tradition. Nice one today. Sunshine and a high of 71 degrees, a little bit cooler near the lake. Clear and chilly tonight with low temperatures in the mid-40s. Milwaukee temp at 57. Good show today, E. A lot of stuff happening. If you feel like you missed something, you can text Vince to 855-616-1620. Greg Pancake Hill, who produces the program, will send you a link to the podcast or podcast page available wherever you get your podcasts. WTMJ's Steve Scafidi and the Political Power Hour up next.